Here's check on stories we're following for you today on Robinhood Radio.
Pat Pagano's forecast for the tri-state region: hazy, humid, scattered showers and gusty thunderstorms possible today, 85 to 90. Tomorrow, partly sunny, less humid, near 80. Friday, increasing clouds, 60 to 65. We'll check the full details on Pat's forecast in just a few moments. Trucks and carbon emissions are back on Connecticut Governor Lamont's mind. The governor was out on Tuesday pushing proposals for a mileage tax for heavy trucks and a carbon emissions charge for fuel suppliers that the state's trucking industry believes are running out of gas. Lamont used a ribbon-cutting ceremony at a new elevated ramp exit on I-91 to Hartford to pitch the highway user tax and transportation and climate initiative program that he has proposed to the legislature. The Democratic governor has initially met with mixed success in the Democratic-controlled General Assembly. The Finance Review and Bonding Committee included the highway user tax in its revenue plan. The Appropriations Committee did not budget proceeds from that carbon emission charges spending plan. As boat sales rise, safety is now a concern, of course, for everybody on the water, especially this holiday weekend. This week is Safe Boating Week. Approaching Memorial Day weekend, captains should make sure they have PFCs, a horn, and flares. The Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection says boating safety includes a sober captain, life vests for each passenger, and personal flotation devices. They say if you don't have a sticker on your kayak or canoe to identify the owner, you should get one because it'll save emergency crews time and effort should your vessel slip away. An audit has found improper use of state money by the Berkshire County ARC. A state audit found $777,000 of improper spending by Berkshire County during 2 years ending in 2019, including by managers at the nonprofit for the intellectually and developmentally disabled. Quote, the questionable practices and amounts involved in this apparent misuse of state funding is made worse by the fact that these dollars should have been supporting the agency's disabled clients. End quote. That from state auditors Suzanne M. Bump. She said that in a statement announcing the result. Bump's office said the audit found that the BCARC charged $651,000 against its state contracts for maintenance expenses, bookkeeping services, and capital improvements to buildings owned by an affiliate called Berkshire Omega, which owns about 30 properties that Mark leases from the region. Bump said the spending was unallowable under state regulations because it was not related to programming that benefit the nonprofit clients. Berkshire Omega was incorporated in 1980 to benefit BARC solely and exclusively, and its board members are appointed by a nonprofit board, according to the audit. The audit found the agency allowed inappropriate use of credit cards, 48 were associated with the agency, on expenses that were not allowed under state regulations. In response to the audit, Berkshire County ARC said Singer was, quote, required to guarantee the credit cards for use by BCARC, making the CEO personally liable for the payments, end quote, which it called a normal requirement. In response to the finding, the agency implemented a policy prohibiting employees from receiving a personal benefit from an agency credit card, according to the audit. Well, Mark Mulinello will not run for governor, but he's undecided on a congressional run. In the Poughkeepsie Journal, Molinaro's name won't be on the ballot in the gubernatorial race, but he did not rule out the possibility of running for higher office before the end of his term. Molinaro endorsed Representative Lee Zeldin in the race against Governor Cuomo on Monday afternoon. He previously challenged Cuomo in 2018 and last month said he was undecided on a second attempt. Molinaro joked it would be, quote, awkward, end quote, running again after endorsing Zeldin's candidacy. Quoting here, there's a time and a season for everything, and I am supporting Congressman Zeldin for governor, end quote. This is not my time. Marijuana sales in New York. Local governments can opt out, but they are on the clock. First, New York legalized marijuana for recreational use. Then it put its cities, towns, and villages on the clock. The state's new recreational marijuana law, approved by Governor Cuomo and lawmakers in late March, immediately allowed those over the age of 21 to possess up to 3 ounces of cannabis and consume it nearly anywhere cigarettes can be legally consumed. Local governments have no way of blocking that, but the law does let them make another crucial decision whether to allow for legal marijuana sales within their borders. Opting out would mean forfeiting potential revenue, since the only way local governments can make tax money from marijuana is from legal sales within their jurisdiction. Once a legal marijuana program is fully up and running, the state is anticipating about $350 million a year in revenue, which includes taxes at the distributor level. That means the local share would be an amount less than $150 million split among many governments. In order to block marijuana sales, A city, town, or village board would simply have to pass a local law by December 31st. Cashless tolling has been rolled out now on Hudson River bridges. It'll take a while to implement on all the bridges. The five Hudson River bridges under the New York State Bridge Authority will begin conversion to cashless tolling this summer. It'll be rolled out in phases beginning in July at the Newburgh Beacon Bridge, which already had some structural elements for cashless tolling installed during the current deck replacement project. The implementation will begin at the Newburgh Beacon Bridge after the July 4th holiday weekend. Now the county's other four spans, Bear Mountain, Mid-Hudson, Kingston, Rhinecliff and Rip Van Winkle bridges will begin subsequent months in rolling out those cashless tolls. The process should be completed by all five bridges by the spring of 2022. The Norfolk Affordable Housing Proposal has their hearing continued. The Planning and Zoning Commission agreed to continue a hearing on Haystack Woods to June 22nd, though the PZC cannot act on the application for re-subdivision until the Inland Wetlands Commission completes its own work on the plan. The Foundation for Norfolk Living has proposed Haystack Woods, including at least 10 affordable houses in an area off Old Colony Road formerly used as a gravel pit. The Foundation is seeking to re-subdivide the site because state funding will be easier to obtain if the road serving the houses is accepted as a public street. Kent has approved their $13.3 million town budget. Their tax rate is slightly lower. First Selectman Gene Speck asked voters to approve the town budget on Friday evening with a reduction that did not include $26,500 for the Emergency Management Department. Speck made the motion to amend the budget at the first thing she presented to voters about the $13.3 million package for 2021-22 that includes municipal education, debt service, and capital appropriations. Meanwhile, the Connecticut House has okayed a ballot bill. Parties, though, are clashing over legislation to expand absentee voting. Democratic and Republican legislators clashed again over legislation intended to allow more voters to cast absentee ballots. In a 117-28 bipartisan vote, Democrat-controlled House approved a bill that expands two of the current allowable excuses for absentee voting, subject to penalties for making false statements to obtain and cast absentee ballots. The legislation repeals the requirement that a voter must personally be ill or physically disabled to obtain an absentee ballot. Instead, eligibility would be based on sickness or physical disability generally. That change would allow a voter to cite the illness of a child or family member or their own compromised immune system. New York has reversed its COVID policy that would have required kids in childcare to wear masks. Kids in daycare will not have to wear a mask to protect against COVID-19. State agencies said yesterday, reversing that derided policy put in place last week. The joint announcement from the State Office of Children and Family Services and Department of Health comes days after daycare facilities and lawmakers ripped a change in a state mandate last week that required those over the age of two to wear masks while at childcare. Meanwhile, New York looks to have their schools fully reopen in person in September. The days of remote or hybrid learning in New York students might come in time for the fall school session, according to Governor Cuomo. He was optimistic that all New York elementary and secondary schools could dump learning by the time students return in September. His comments came soon after New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said the city schools will fully reopen in September. For his part, Cuomo said he was also confident that all schools statewide would be able to end remote learning by fall. In Stockbridge, one of South County, Massachusetts' largest employers finally is making plans to reopen after shutting its campus 11 months ago. The Kapalo Center for Yoga and Health is planning to reopen its retreat near Stockbridge Bowl to on-site guests August 19th with safety protocols in place. They'll start to bring employees back next month, according to the CEO. It's the largest yoga retreat in North America. It'll begin taking guest reservations June 1st at limited capacity in accordance with COVID-19 safety guidelines that are in place in Massachusetts at the time. Only registered day and night guests will be allowed on the campus at first. Walking guests initially will be accommodated. In meetings in our area, the Dovertown Board has their regular meeting. The Region 1 Middle School Athletics Activities Committee meeting will be held at 6 p.m., and that is via a Zoom conference call. The ABC Committee of Region 1 is meeting at 7 p.m. via Zoom as well. The Town of Sheffield Planning Board has a meeting coming up at 7 p.m. It's virtual via Zoom.
Once again, Lime Rock Park has their Trans Am Classic Weekend, May 28th, 29th, and 30th and 31st at Lime Rock Park in Lakeville, Connecticut. More information, limerock.com/Trans Am Classic. D.M. Hunt Homegrown Plant Sale is happening from 9 to 4 on Saturday and 9 to 2 on Sunday at the D.M. Hunt Library in Falls Village. More information at huntlibrary.org. Friends of the Pine Plains Library holding their book sale 3 days this Memorial Day weekend on the second floor of the library. The sale will be held on Saturday from 9:30 till 2. Special preview held from 8:30 to 9:30 for members. That's $10. The sale continues on Sunday from 11 till 2 and on Monday from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Smithfield Chamber Orchestra, under the direction of Matt Finley, has a Pops concert on Saturday at 4 p.m. at the Smithfield Church, Smithfield Valley Road, Route 83 in Amenia, benefiting church concerts in a socially safe setting, rain or shine. Suggested donation is $20. It is open to the public. A concert in the park, the Rojan Library in Hillsdale on Sunday. Matt and Atla D. Champlain. Matt and Atla D. Champlain return for a concert on the Hilltop Barn at the Roloff Jansen Park. Admission is free. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs. Social distancing must be maintained at all times. More information is available at the Rojan Library. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgan's at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com. You'll also find them on Facebook and Instagram, Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com, and by Viale Insurance, 75 Main Street in Lee, insuring seasonal and secondary homes in the Berkshires since 1912, 413-243-0347, on the web, vialeinsurance.com.